Thank you for tuning in to our Restoration Life podcast. Don't forget to rate and review the message and share it out with your friends on social media. Can't wait for you to listen in next week.
And this morning, I'm excited to finish the series of talks that we've been in entitled Thank You, Jesus. Has anybody been blessed by this series this far? Come on, I believe that we've seen so many opportunities to find a reason to stop and just give up to God a thanks. Just a thank you, Jesus. We've had so many thank you, Jesus moments in our life. And I believe that this series has reminded us of those moments, but also it's done something in our spirit to activate just gratitude in every area of our life. Amen. And this morning, I'm excited to bring the word. And I believe that God has given me a word for this morning. And the title of this sermon is Gratitude Propels Our Generosity. Come on, gratitude propels our generosity. Because I believe that it's impossible to be a Christ follower and not be generous. I believe that we can't help but to be so thankful that our actions would show that we are generous people because we're thankful for all God's done in our lives. Amen? And this morning, I know that generosity in church is a hot topic, but I just want to encourage you this morning to lean into the word. I'm not going to beat anyone up with the Bible, but I'm going to remind us about the power of generosity and what happens when we partner with generosity and we break the back of greed. Amen? Come on, is anybody excited for the word of God this morning? Is there anyone who's generous this morning and excited to level up their generosity? Is there anyone excited to apply scripture to be a bigger blessing than they've already been? Come on, this morning, I believe that gratitude propels our generosity. And our series text is found in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. This is what it reads. It says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." And I believe this scripture right here is a great opportunity to touch on this, because I believe when we're overflowing with thankfulness, I believe you're able to see that through generosity. Generosity is an action word, amen? It causes you to step out and sow. And I believe that this morning, you're going to awaken generosity in your hearts, and there's going to be areas in your life that you have aha moments and you realize you've been greedy in areas other than finances, but maybe with your love, with your gifts and talents and abilities, come on, with your emotions and how you show affection. See, greed is not just in the area of finances, but greed, if you partner with it, it could apply to any area of your life. But how many people are grateful that God is a great God, and through his truth and his word, we could apply it and we could be transformed, amen? Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done through this series. Thank you for the thank you, Jesus, moments in our life that you've reminded us of. God, areas where you've stepped in on our behalf, Lord God. Areas that you've provided for, God. Areas that you've rescued us from, God. But Lord, we thank you for what's next and what's to come, God. And we pray that this word would fall on the hearts of your people, God. Lord, and that it would take root, God, because you desire us to be generous, God. Because generosity reflects who you are, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Come on, give God some praise this morning. I promise you, I'm not going to take up an offering at the end of service, okay? So you can tell your neighbor it's all good. He's not taking up another offering. But turn to your neighbor and say, generosity is our privilege. Turn to your other neighbor and say, gratitude propels our generosity. Is there anybody that's grateful in the house this morning? Come on. Praise God. 9:30 wasn't so happy with the generosity talk, but no, I'm just kidding. They took it like champs. But I believe that this word this morning is not to beat us up, but it's to encourage us. Because here's what I believe. I believe if you're a part of Restoration Life, if you call this church your home, raise your hand. Amen. You're part of a generous community. So I'm not preaching to you per se, but I'm encouraging you to continue to be generous, because we see what generosity does in action, right? Destiny Rescue for a plug right there. We see what our generosity is able to accomplish, not just in the four walls of the church, not just in the Reach Network, but outside of what we're capable of here physically. Come on, generosity is a privilege to be a part of. It's an opportunity to help, to sow, to be a blessing, because we know that we've been blessed, amen, and we're called to be a blessing to others. Amen, is that okay? So this morning, let your guard down. We're not taking up a special offering. Next week, we're not going to take up a special offering. This is not a plug to start building up a campaign, but it's just a reminder about the importance of generosity and the importance of giving our first to the Lord, because he blesses the rest when we give our first. Amen? Amen? And my encouragement to us this morning is that we stop tipping God, but we commit to God. Is that all right this morning? That one wasn't in my notes, but that one's free. You can have that one. So the text for that we're going to start with this morning is Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. If you have your smart devices, go ahead and pull those bad boys out. Open up that Bible app, and we're going to get started. And if you don't have it, we have our scriptures here on the screen this morning. It says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy." Come on, we talked about mercy last week. "In view of that mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." You may say this morning, we're talking about generosity, but why are we talking about our bodies being a living sacrifice? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to get there. Come on. Shout out to Lena. You're the best, Lena. "To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." Amen. "This is your true and proper worship." Okay, sacrifice, worship. Generosity, okay. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be what? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Somebody say amen. Amen. See, scripture is encouraging us there to be a living sacrifice that God can use for his glory. Not just being a sacrifice for your family or for yourself, or your household, or your family name, but be a sacrifice beyond yourself. Because generosity goes far beyond who we are, right? No? All right. We're going to go there this morning. So if you're already mad at me, you're going to get a little bit more upset. But know that I love you. This is going to be a challenge this morning. See, I know that it's not particularly easy or glamorous. It involves giving ourselves over to God, so watch this. We give ourselves to God not so that we could stay the same, right? But he could come into our heart, come into our life, and not sit on the couch in our life, but get to work in our life and prying the old us out. He could get to work on shaping and molding us into who he's called us to be and not who we dream to be. Is that okay this morning? Can God shape us up this morning? Oh, he's going to. All right. So God wants to get to work on your heart, on your mindset. Some of us have stinking thinking, our poverty and greed mentality, come on. He wants to get to work on that. See, he doesn't come into our life just to relax and chill and just to be somewhat near you, but he wants to be involved in who you are. And he wants to be active in changing you and shaping you and molding you into who he's called you to be. Amen. See, this is critical to growing closer to him. But it could be hard to know how to do that every day. That's why the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. He's given us such a book to be able to apply and give direction if we were to just open it and learn, right? And so, I know that it's especially hard when we're talking about the topic of generosity. Because no one wants to be told how to use their money. No one wants to be taught how to spend your money. And I'm not telling you this morning or teaching you this talk to teach you how to spend, but I want to teach you how to steward. Because too many people are good at spending. Come on, Louis Vuitton. Come on, Gucci. Come on, Kith. I love Kith too. But I believe God wants us to steward, amen? Is that okay? Because far too many people get a check and spend and they don't steward. And if you don't give your money a destination, it'll outspend you. Anybody ever been broke in the house this morning? Come on, somebody. Tell the truth to shame the devil. Anybody ever been to a wedding and had their car repossessed? Come on, I have. It's all good. It's all good. It's not about where I've been. It's who I'm becoming. Come on, somebody. Molly's laughing because she was at the wedding. She gave us a ride home. Thank God. Community is our blessing. What can I say? Oh, man. Community is a privilege to be a part of. Amen. It keeps you from using the 210, your two legs. And anyways. You know, I know what it's like to be a poor steward. I've been there. I know what it's like to be credit card balling. I've been there. I know it all too well. Thank God. Thank God for his lessons and his blessings. Amen. See, oftentimes we find ourselves praying for God to bless us, not recognizing that we are already blessed, but we got to steward what he's blessed us with. Am I preaching to anyone this morning? If not, I'll just remind myself not to get another car repossessed. Amen. My wife's probably going to kill me for saying that on a pulpit. But listen, this morning, this is so important because generosity is not just about giving, but it's about becoming who God's called us to be. And we have to understand that this morning, if we're going to be anything like God, we got to break the back of greed in our life. Is that okay? See, God equips each of us with different gifts, different resources, and he asks each of us to be generous in different ways, at different times, and in different measures. God's given us each our own abilities and our giftings, right? He's given us resource, some different than others, but the reality is, no matter how much you have, you don't have to wait for your money to get right to be a blessing. Oftentimes, we have this mentality, when I get my money right, I'm going to go ahead and start to be a blessing. I'm going to start to give when I have more to give. But I believe God wants us to look at what you already have and show you how you could already be a blessing. Come on, somebody. A lot of times, we rob God of us being a blessing to someone else because we're not obedient. He'll give you a nudge. He'll give you an indication. You've been praying for a sign, and he gives it to you, and you're like, yeah, not that one. Give me another one. Come on. Let's be honest. We've all been there. See, doing generosity well requires obedience and sacrifice, being a living sacrifice. Come on, helping out with the giftings that you have, building the house, building one another in community. There's gifted people here, time that you have to give and help. And so many of you guys do that well. And I want to encourage you to continue to be a blessing because it blesses others outside of these four walls. I've seen it. I've grown up in church my whole life. I've seen it in my house, how my dad has been so faithful and never robbing God, never missing a moment to be a blessing, even though we were limited, quote unquote. The reality is when you have God in your life and you believe that he's your Lord and Savior and that he's your source, that he's your provider, you never, never lack anything. But you have all that you need because he's your source. See, oftentimes we get it so twisted and we look at what's in our bank account every morning and we determine whether what we could do or what we can't do based off of what we have. That right there is an indication that money masters you. Money actually dictates whether you could be a blessing or not. Because how many of you know you could be a blessing by just picking up the phone? You guys spend a lot of time on social media. Maybe actually go and like someone's post for once and drop a comment and say, hey, you look great, brother. Or hey, you know, you look great, sis. Hey, you know, hey, God's doing something amazing in your family. Come on, God bless you. Hey, I want to invite you to church. See, generosity is more than just giving money. It's more than just spending money on someone. It's more than giving something that's tangible in your hand, but it could actually be giving of your love. Hey, man, I just want to encourage you, bro. I know it's been tough, but I want to encourage you in the Lord that God got to you. That don't cost you a thing. See, we don't just follow a set of rules in how to be generous, but instead we look to God for our individual guidance on how to be generous with what we do have. Amen? See, because I believe that when you steward what God has, you have the understanding that you're not an owner, you're a manager. You got to get out of this mindset of I own this. I own this. This is mine. Because if you have that mindset, you'll never be a blessing to anybody, but you'll just spend all that you have. Come on. Because here's what I know, that generosity changes your perspective. Turn to your neighbor and say, generosity changes your perspective. It changes your outlook. It changes your mind. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, it says this, that you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Remember this scripture? I touched on this 2 weeks ago. But it says this, but remember the Lord your God. Someone say, remember God. For it is he. Who was it? It is he, friend, who gives the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Friend, it is he who gives us the ability. It is he. See, God's given us the ability to create wealth. He's given you the ability to produce for your family, yes, for yourself, yes, for your needs that you have. But see, he's given you the ability to produce far beyond yourself. See, oftentimes we're so focused on building without a purpose is just a waste of time, friend. But God's called you to be part of a greater purpose beyond yourself. See, God's given us the ability to produce with our gifts, our talents, our skills. Some of you are very skilled individuals. Some of you follow directions very well, and it's gotten you to where you're at and climbing up in your workplace. God's given you skills and creativity. There's some creative individuals in this place. Come on, anybody happy to be part of a church that's so creative? We're not boring. God's intentionally made you who you are with purpose and creativity and skills and knowledge and wisdom. Not everyone, but some of us are smart, amen? But see, I want to ask you this question this morning. How are you stewarding what God's given you? I ask this question a lot, and I'm glad, I hope some of you notice that I ask that often, because the reality is everything that we do is part of stewarding. We have to steward and be obedient in order to be effective, amen? How do you steward what God's already given you? Generosity is our privilege. See, we believe that generosity is not an obligation, but it's an opportunity. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. See, the reason for the conversation this morning is not to ask you, what can your generosity do for Restoration Life? It's not about what can you do for the church? It's not about that, but I believe it's more so, what is God asking you to do through your generosity? That part right there, he's giving you an opportunity. Do you accept it? It's quiet in here this morning. I promise there's no surprise offering, guys. See, our generosity to God and his house is actually tied to the blessings that other people are experiencing through coming to God's house. By being in community, or by being around Christ-centered people that have been affected in a great way by this community. We don't just go to church, but we are the church. Therefore, anyone that ever comes around you and sees the testimony of what God's done in your life, guess what? Your generosity is attached to that. Your generosity is attached to testimony of faithfulness. Come on, of favor, of how God's rescued you, took you from where you were, and he's taking you to where you're going. See, generosity goes beyond ourselves, and it impacts others. But I want to ask you this morning again and again and again, do you view it as an obligation or an opportunity? Here's what Ephesians 5:3 says. It says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity. Someone say, any kind. And I love this part right here. Or of greed. Yeah, it says that. It says, of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Is anyone God's people in this place? Then we can't be greedy. It's in scripture. See, in the church, we talk about sin often. We talk about gossipers, liars, and how we shouldn't be of those ways. But I believe we need a touch on greed this morning, because if we're people of God and we're to reflect Christ, we can't be greedy. Come on, do you agree with that this morning? If you don't, oh well, because it's biblical here. And I'm going to say this, like I say every time I preach, just a disclaimer, if you're here for the first time and you really dislike how I communicate the word, Pastor Eddie will be back next week. And he does it much, much better than me, and he's more gentle, very mature in his wording. How many of you guys love our lead pastor? He's awesome. Come on. But listen, I'm going to preach the truth this morning, because it's the truth that will shift everything in our lives. It's not our idea of the truth, but it's the actual truth. I think a lot of us create our own picture-perfect truth. Like, oh, okay, I won't lie, I won't cheat. Being greedy's all right. I could give God everything else, but not... Oh, my bad. I'm sorry, guys. Does that make sense this morning? Oftentimes, we find ourselves willing to give up so many other things, but the things that are closest to us that we really value, those are the things that we're unsettled about. It doesn't feel good to give up something that you value so much because you don't know what the outcome of that's going to be. But see, I want you to understand that greed is sinful. Whether you like it or not, being greedy is sinful. And if we're going to break the back of greed in our life, we must identify the areas in our life where we've partnered with greed. We all have. We've all been greedy in one way or another. We all know that you've invited someone in your house, and maybe you bought a certain drink that you really like, and you're like, hey, would you like some water? Tap or purified? But you don't want to offer, you know, your prime drink or, you know, your Coke Zero. The Coke Zero is off limits, bro, but have the water. Water's good for you. Come on. See, greed is savage. It's sinful. Greed takes back the opportunity for you to be generous. It takes away that opportunity for you to be a blessing. And we've all partnered with it, but I believe that this word will help us identify the areas of our life where we've partnered with greed. And therefore, more than just identifying, I pray that we apply the scriptures that we're reading this morning to change that. Amen. Anybody want to leave out of here being generous? Come on, because we serve a generous God who gave his very best for us. Is that okay? See, we have to identify these areas in our life. And I want to ask you, or ask us, I should say, what are the areas in our life where maybe we now see that we've actually been greedy? Maybe you didn't realize it before. Maybe you thought you were just being extra thoughtful about giving. You didn't consider that being greedy by not taking part of a need in the house of God or in the family or, you know, in other situations. But we've all, to a degree, have partnered with greed. And if not in finances, in other areas. Amen? It's like, have you ever seen a kid who has, he has toys, and he values this one toy, and he's like, oh, you can play with anything else, but not my Buzz Lightyear. But I remember in the 90s, when Toy Story came out, I got a Buzz Lightyear. And my mom loved Disney, so she would buy me all these Disney characters. And when my cousins would come over, they could play with anything, but not my Buzz Lightyear. That's mine. That's my precious Buzz Lightyear. This thing, you push a button, it talks. You push button and wings come out. Like, that thing was dope. It had a little laser on it. Come on. Anybody know Buzz Lightyear? Buzz Lightyear was dope. And I remember my cousins always crying because they couldn't play with my Buzz Lightyear. And I was being a greedy little brat. The reality is, some of us have been greedy adult brats. Come on. A lot of us, we've been greedy. And this morning, I want you to understand some character traits of greed. I got to jump through this, though, because we don't have a lot of time. But greed says, you deserve more. I deserve more. Greed says, I need more. I have to have more. But generosity says we should always do more for others. Or even if I have more, I want to give more. I want to be a blessing beyond myself. I want to see not just my family blessed, but I want to see my friends blessed. Come on. I've been blessed so I could be a blessing. See, greed says I don't have enough, but generosity knows that with God I'll always have enough, because he's my provision. He's my source. Come on, he's my provider. Which perspective do you have? One of greed or one of generosity? Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 through 24, where it says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't do it." It's in Scripture. Break up with the idea of serving both. You can only serve one. Because it's not your reality, it's God's reality. I think we get settled in on our reality too much. It's our idea of how things should be when God says, "Listen, you can't serve both money and me. It's one or the other. Which one do you serve?" So this morning, I ask you, what do you serve? And these are hard questions to ask ourselves. These aren't the popular sermons, I know. I've been on a roll with preaching unpopular sermons lately. But listen, I believe it's these sermons right here, when you apply the truth of them, that you'll see everything in your life change. You'll see every circumstance in your life begin to have a solution. Come on. I believe that God's truth is for every area of our life, including the area of generosity. Amen. See, it's an indication that money is your master if you constantly find yourself worrying about your money. There's the individuals that check their bank account every morning to count every cent in it. You have to calculate for everything. Oh man, 50 cents was gone. Who took it? Where'd it go? Which one of you kids bought something on the app? Who's playing Roblox? Come on, does anyone ever wake up every morning and check that bank account? I know you're in here. Come on. See, we constantly find ourselves worrying about money. You find yourself extra greedy, not being able to be a blessing. You may have the intention to want to, but you're not obedient to that nudge. You have this mentality that someone else will bless them because I got to get my money right. My wife's texting me. Praise God. Someone pray for that woman. Take some notes, young lady. See, we find ourselves selfish, stingy, always desiring more money for self-advancement and self-gain. We all know that one guy who makes money and carries around his whole paycheck in his pocket. Oh, yeah, look what I got, bro. God's been good, but have you been good? That part. Someone say that part. See, a character trait of greed is self-promotion. I want the attention. I want it to be known that I'm wealthy or that I have money. But see, generosity doesn't count what's given. It's just obedient. Generosity is just obedient. It doesn't take tally marks of how many blessings have been given. It just says, "God, I always want to be part of that blessing. Thank you for the opportunity to be generous because you've given me the ability to produce wealth." Yeah. Come on. Is that true this morning? Yeah. That God's given us the ability? Yeah. The second thing I want to make mention is that generosity grounds your faith. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 through 12, it says, "Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God yet rob me? But you ask, how are we robbing you in tithes and in offerings? And you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe." Someone say the whole tithe. Bring the whole tithe, not 70% of it, not 80% of it, but bring all of it. Bring your whole tithes. It says, "Bring the whole tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house." And he says this, "Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty." And verse 12 says this, then all the nations will call you blessed. Everyone will understand and know because they will see the evidence of God's blessing. I want to ask you this morning. Who are you without words? Who are you without the ability to speak? But what do your actions say about you? What is people's outlook and view of who you are in Christ based off of your actions? See, in this passage, God encourages Israel to do two things. The first is to stop robbing him. He tells his people that they are robbing him by not giving him a full tithe. And the second thing is he tells them to test him. He says, bring it and test me and see what I will do. God's telling them, I'm the real deal, bro. You want to be blessed, to bring it all to me and watch what I'll do. And see, he says, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven for you. And I want to remind you this morning that if you could trust God with your problems, we love to trust him with our problems, because it's when we have problems that most of us call him, first of all. So God answers like, bro, where you been? You got a problem? All right, here I am. So faithful, just as he always is, right? We give him our problems. We can trust him with our children. We can trust him with our marriage. We can trust him in all kinds of other things. But I want you to know this morning, more than all those other things, or just as much as those other things, you can trust God with your money. It's okay to trust him with your money, because he promises this. He says, watch what I'll do when you bring your tithe. This is not Nick writing Bible. This is Nick reading Bible. This is the word of God, not the word of Nick. Friend, you can trust God with your money this morning. You could trust him with your family, your friendships, and all those other things, but you can trust him with provision. Come on, say amen. It's all right. Are you pursuing wealth or pursuing God while surrendering wealth to him? Are you pursuing just wealth or pursuing God with your wealth? See, I believe that when you make an investment, there has to be a level of trust, right? And any Robin Hood gangsters in here that were an investor during COVID-19? Anybody? Yeah, there's a few of us. And then there's real investors, and God bless you guys. Y'all are smart with your calculators and your pocketbooks and all those things. But for us Robin Hood investors who knew nothing about it, we just wanted to be a part of the wave, right? We just wanted to get on there, and we had some crazy faith trusting information that we knew nothing about. But here's what I want to say, that if we could trust in an app to try to make us money, how can we not trust God, whose truth is in his word, who is faithful? It's in his nature to bless us, friend. It's not a risk. It's insurance to know that his word is truth and his blessings are for us. We just got to be obedient and step in. Step through the door of faith. Be generous as he's been generous to us. Come on. See, I lost my spot. Praise God. At the end of the passage that we're looking at, God states that the nations will see that if Judah does not rob God, that they will be blessed. And what I want us to know this morning is that the favor of God expressed in our life will be evident to others. This does not just mean in the financial area of our life, but every area of our life. It'll be evident. See, generosity not only breaks the back of greed, but it pours out the blessings of God in our life. Generosity pours out the blessing, the hand of God over your life. Not just for your family, not just for your children, but for those around you and those beyond you. Your money, when it's connected to God, is blessed and highly favored beyond us. Come on. See, we love leaning on the promise that God will open that floodgate. We always lean on that. Oh, you'll just open the floodgates, Lord, just like your word says. But we have to understand and remind ourselves that this morning, that promise was rooted in us returning to him first. You don't like that part, huh? You like the floodgate part, but we got to return to him first. The Bible is saying that they turned away and they actually needed to be regrounded. And I think a lot of times as human beings, we're so focused on God blessing us, where God's more focused on the relationship, the trust and the intimacy, reconnecting with us. He's saying, reconnect with me and watch what I'll do through your obedience. We need to be reconnected. It grounds our faith this morning. He gave us the ability to produce wealth, but it takes obedience to steward that ability to produce. Our idea of God's blessings and his answered prayers is us waking up to $1 million thinking that money will fix our issues. Well, money could buy me this. This is what I need, so I need to buy it. And I think it's okay to pray and lift up your needs to the Lord, because that's what we should do. But we should also step into the opportunity to produce for ourselves to meet the need. That's what stewardship is. It's not God just waving a wand to you and saying, a million for you. But it's saying, hey, I've given you the gifting. I've given you the ability. I've given you the talent. Would you step into it and use it not just for your need, but for my glory, for my purpose? Be a living sacrifice. Come on, I think that a lot of times we don't want to hear that part. Can I keep it real this morning? God's given you so many talents and giftings beyond what you currently do, yet you sit back living in a poverty mindset because you have no vision for beyond what you have. And that's an indication that you haven't been stewarding wisely. That's an indication that you've been a poor steward. I've been there myself. God's given us multiple abilities to produce. Amen. But I want you to know something. A lot of times we sit and wonder, like, man, is God ever going to bless me? Is God, like, is this where I'm supposed to be forever, just living paycheck to paycheck? The answer to that is no. God wants you to be blessed and highly favored because he said that about you already. God already decided that he wants you to be blessed. In Genesis, he gave us dominion over the fish of the seas and the birds in the air and over all living things. Friend, you've been given the ability to have dominion, to rule, to conquer, to be blessed over all things, but you got to steward the blessing. You got to steward it. You got to give it to God first so he could bless it. He gave us the ability, friend. You got to steward it. I want to ask us this morning, do you believe what God's word says about your finances? It's one thing to have information. It's another thing to trust it. But do you trust what God says about the finances? If you do, it's important that we follow the principle of tithing. Because here's where it's at, guys. As we come, we're getting close to a close this morning. I believe that the reason that some of us can't give 10% to God is because we truly don't believe God owns 100%. I believe that a lot of times we truly don't believe that God owns 100% of it. We spend money out of pocket in the wrong steps. We misprioritize and misstoward. A lot of times we're like, house payment, car payment, gas bill, overdue electric bill. That needs to get paid before it gets turned off. I've been there. But here's what I know. I know that if I give God my first tenth, he'll bless the other 90, friend. And he's all that I need, so I don't ever have to fear not having enough. Because if I trust him and I'm obedient, he'll meet my need. Come on, somebody. Do you trust God? Do you trust him? God wants to bless you. I want you to know this. When you give to everything else and give God what's left, you're tipping God. God don't want your tip. He wants your commitment. He wants your devotion. He wants to reconnect with you. He wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to reconnect and show you and prove himself to you that he's faithful. But you just got to be obedient. Is there anyone in here this morning that's willing to be obedient and commit to God this morning through your generosity? Come on. Is this helping anyone this morning, or are you just mad? I love you. This is why I'm willing to sit up here and have a tough conversation about finances. I know this isn't popular. You see people who misstewart money and abuse church finances. You've seen story after story, but that's not us, friend. Generosity is our privilege. It's our opportunity. It's not our obligation, but we are blessed to be a blessing. The proof is in the fruit. You're part of a church that's blessed because you've been a blessing. So I want to remind you this morning that generosity goes beyond us. It goes beyond here. It reaches everywhere around us. Amen. I want you to know something this morning, that this morning, if God hasn't touched your finances, it's probably an indication that you haven't allowed him to touch them. You probably haven't. And you may say, well, I calculate and I give when I can, but that's not what I'm saying. Friend, we got to give our first tenth always. It's a principle to apply. See, God won't bless what you don't allow him to touch. God won't bless what you don't let him. Maybe you've given him everything else, but you've been holding finances dear and near. And I want you to know that that's dangerous. Because the minute you give God what you hold near, he blesses it beyond what it physically is, and it stretches beyond what it was intended to be spent on. But it's a blessing to not just you, but to others, friend. Generosity expands our mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 12, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Friend, generosity advances joy in your life. Generosity advances joy in your life. Man, it may be hard, but guess what? When you're obedient and you can be generous, even when it's hard, you'll find joy. The sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes tomorrow. Come on, when that paycheck hits. Joy's right now, my bank account's empty, but tomorrow I know what's coming because I've been faithful. I've been obedient. I trust in the Lord. He's my source. He's my provision. Generosity reflects the heart of God. We can't reflect God if we're not generous. See, giving generously checks the heart, but it also stretches your faith. Generosity, ooh, try it if you don't believe me. Generosity will check your heart. It'll check you. But what it will do is it'll stretch your faith beyond what you have vision for. See, I believe that when you're generous, not only does God give us vision, but he gives us faith to step into that vision. Some of you have been walking around with no vision, wondering when it's going to come. But can I ask you, why would God give you vision when you're not willing? And you have to understand that before I preach this to you, I preach it to me, because how much of a hypocrite would I be if I didn't have this in line in my life? I've been there, friend. I've gone to church. I was born in church. Doesn't mean that I reflected God. It took a lot of lessons in order to encounter the blessings of God. It took a lot of applying before I could do a lot of the living that God wanted me to do. It took a lot of unnecessary struggle for me to understand that it's not my idea of the word and how I could apply it in my way, but it's about just surrendering to God's way. Man, generosity is our privilege, not an obligation. Is there anyone in the house this morning that's tired of being greedy? I want to be generous, God, because you've been generous with me. Can you stand to your feet with me this morning? I believe that God gives to those he could trust. And I want to ask you this morning, what has God given you? What has God trusted you with? Are you trustworthy? My last point is this, that gratitude, it leads us to give at all costs. We see this portion of scripture found in Mark chapter 12, verse 41 and 44. It says this, that Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on. See, friend, you don't got to wait till your money's right in order to be generous. You just got to be obedient. And when you're obedient to the Lord, you will reap the blessing of that harvest, friend. Generosity isn't something you do. Listen to me. Generosity is not something we just do. Generosity is who we are. It's our privilege. It's not an obligation. Come on, say it. It's not an obligation. It's a privilege to be a part. It's a privilege to be a part of what God's doing here. It's a privilege to walk in covenant with the Lord, being a blessing through his blessings. Come on, it's not an obligation. It's an opportunity. How would you respond to the opportunity this morning to be a blessing? You could be a blessing in so many ways. Just loving on someone as you leave this place. Maybe blessing someone as you leave this place. However God puts it on your heart. But here's what I do pray. Here's what I do pray. That you understand that money cannot limit you from being generous. Money is not your master. God is our master. And when God is our master and we live surrender to Him, physical things don't stop us from stepping into spiritual blessings. We have to understand that this morning, that a heart filled with gratitude can't help but to be generous. Here's what I know, a grateful heart won't miss an opportunity to express gratitude through generosity, because it's a privilege to partner with God. And what a privilege it has been for us as a church to do so. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Father, we thank you. Before we leave this morning, I know that there's some visitors here. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. What you're standing in this morning is a mere miracle. It's the favor of God. It's the blessing of God. Because God has built this house, not us. See, we see the character of God. He gave us everything by giving his son. He didn't give part of him. He gave all of him. He's generous. And what that does is when we come into relationship with Jesus, he begins to change us from the inside out. And we can't help but to feel his love, his joy, his compassion, and his grace. But further than that, we can't help but to want to be a part of what God's doing. And so if you're here for the very first time and you just want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you just lift your hand right where you're at this morning? Right where you're at, come on. If you want to accept Jesus, don't wait, just lift your hand. We're going to say a prayer together as a family. Just repeat after me as a church. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I accept that you died on the cross and you resurrected. You gave it all to pay the price of my sin. And I believe that not only did you die, but you resurrected and you rose from the grave so I could walk in victory and I could be victorious in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Come on, let's sing a song of praise to the Lord. God bless you.